Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Today's podcast covers a lot of territory, including the complexities of masturbation, its connection to our emotional health, and the difference between a scarcity mindset and an abundance mindset when it comes to living in victory over sexual sin. Our guest today is Matt Klein, founder of Restored Ministries. In our conversation, we explore the significant role emotional well-being plays in navigating sexual brokenness. We emphasize the importance of understanding our emotions to discover genuine happiness and connection. We also explore the intriguing concept of scarcity versus abundance in the context of our sexuality. You know, Matt's perspective on how a scarcity mindset can lead to feelings of isolation is really eye-opening. And he highlights how adopting an attitude of gratitude can help us perceive our lives more abundantly. To cap off the conversation, we point listeners to some valuable resources provided by Restored Ministries, including the Pure Freedom Community and the Pure Victory Podcast, which offers support to those on this path. To learn more about Matt and his ministry, visit restoredministries.ca. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out links in today's show notes. And of course, we always invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now let's go ahead and dive into today's conversation with Matt. Well, all right, Matt Klein, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jonathan. I love everything about what you guys do, so I'm excited to chat with you again.
Yeah, so it has been a couple of years since we had you on last. You know, the last podcast you did was on overcoming shame and embracing your true identity, and we got a lot of great responses out of that. And you were even telling me off air that you had somebody that had responded to that episode that's now even part of your team. Is that right?
Yeah, really cool. Really cool story transformation. He just dove right into getting help and struggled a little bit the first couple months, and now he's been. I think he's over a year for sure, free of all sexual sin. He says almost there's no fantasy and his marriage is different. And so, yeah, it's cool. He's just actually this month, he's come on to start being a coach and got connected through, he started learning from you. And so got connected through the episode we did. So thanks for what you do.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can have some similar results out of this conversation. I thought rather than us trying to dive into one particular topic, you had sent over a few ideas, and I want us to try to tackle three. And now when I mention what they are, they could be very big topics in and of themselves, but I figure we can kind of get people interested enough to be able to say, I want to go a little bit deeper. And then at the end, we'll give them some resources for them to take the next step. But I want us to talk about the issue of masturbation, emotional health, as that relates to kind of the journey of through sexual brokenness. And then this idea of the difference between scarcity and the abundant life, or the idea of having a fear-based approach versus really having that kind of more than a conqueror approach. So let's dive into that first topic, which can be a big topic in itself, and that is masturbation. So first of all, what is it? And what is the prevalence of the struggle that men especially have with this issue?
Well, you know what? Masturbation feels good. And so we learn about it from an early age. We're exploring our bodies a lot of the times. And we don't know the difference between something that feels good and then it becomes sinful. And so a lot of times it's in silence where we learn about masturbation. We're not taught how to steward our body in a way that's holy and that honors God. You know, a lot of times it comes from different sexual experiences that we had as a teenager. I never masturbated myself until I was with a girl, a girlfriend, and she started touching me, and then I started taking that on myself. And so there's that hidden shame that's in isolation where we find that pleasure as an escape with masturbation. The thing that I always say about masturbation is that as big as the epidemic of pornography is, now, of course, pornography, the industry, the evils, the association with sex trafficking, all of that, it's huge. But the epidemic in terms of the prevalence of activity, how many people struggle with masturbation compared to those who struggle with porn? It's greater with masturbation. A lot of people watch porn or don't watch porn for a long time, but they're still chronically masturbating. And so they come for help and they go, okay, where is this okay? In fact, half an hour ago, I was just talking to a couple guys in our group about this, and they're new and they're just saying like, hey, we're having struggles with sex in our marriage, with our wives are okay if we masturbate. What do you think? Is that okay? And you know, there's a gray area for a lot of people when they look at scripture, because it's not explicitly mentioned, but I look at it from the standpoint of scripture is a revelation of the character of God. It's not just a book of rules. And so it's God revealing to us the best way to live. And we can live in intimacy and in unity with him and with each other and die to these fleshly sinful desires that we have. And it's not just that you know, if we give in to these things, he's going to condemn us. It's not that at all. It's saying, God is saying, these things are not the best way for you. This is not how you can live your best life, how the most rich relationships. And so what I think about masturbation scripturally when I read it is that God set the precedent right from the start. He said, let us make mankind in our image. And it wasn't singular. He was saying plural. He was saying us and our. And everything that he did right from the start, he did with those in intimate relationship, with those he was one with. And then he invites us into that oneness. And then he says, hey, you guys can be married, man and woman, be married, husband and wife. And every positive mention of sexual activity in scripture is a man and a wife serving each other in the context of marriage. And so sexual or masturbation isn't explicitly mentioned in scripture, I believe, because God's clear design for sexual activity is mentioned. And solo sex falls outside of that. And we can see that when we understand the character of God being that he does things in intimate relationship. Sex is in that, is within that. And so masturbation falls outside of that. Now, with the urges of masturbation, I just think it points to a greater issue. There's a desire to escape or a desire to numb out. And when you can go deeper and realize the longings of the heart are pointing to maybe a different thing rather than just the physical pleasure, then that opens up a whole new journey of healing the heart that I think is really transformative.
That's good. So you touched on a lot in there. One of the things I want to maybe hone in on a little bit is when you have something like an issue like masturbation that's not explicitly mentioned in scripture, and yet you talk about these principles that are around the character of God and all of that. How then is a person to navigate? Okay, but what do I do about this, Matt? I mean, you're telling me this isn't so much about whether or not there's a black or white line here of condemnation. But when I've been doing this for however many years or however long as my coping mechanisms, I mean, I've met so many men over the years that they're like, I can't go to sleep unless I masturbate or whatever. There's just all these kinds of conditioning that has happened. How do you give them a holistic approach for being able to overcome this thing that, as you put it so well, is clearly not God's best in terms of how they manage and use their sexuality?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big question, isn't it? And everybody's journey or story might be a little bit different, but it really, in my mind, comes down to in scripture, it says to guard your heart with diligence, for everything that you do flows from it. And so if everything that we do flows from the heart, we can't just focus on what we do and ignore the state of our heart. And lots of us in life, well, all of us, that's typically what we do when we have behaviors that we want to change. We focus on the behavior, but we don't look at the heart motive behind it. And so what I do with guys and our coaches do is with this issue of masturbation is to say, what are you trying to escape from? Or what are you trying to experience? Are you trying to experience pleasure? Or are you feeling some sort of rebellion in your marriage? Or are you trying to escape this feeling of rejection? And what does that point to? What's the longing of your heart that points to? In Galatians 5, it talks about the desires of the flesh are at war with the desires of the spirit. And the desires of the spirit, one of those would be peace. And you talk about that. A lot of guys say, I can't go to sleep. I'll fight the urge to masturbate for 2 hours and I'm just trying to go to sleep. And finally, I'm like, I got to give in. And then they give in and then finally they can go to sleep. And that's their answer to peace. But that peace is so short term and it's so insufficient. And so Jesus says, hey, I'm the Prince of Peace and I'm with you. And he wants to come and give you true peace by identifying the deeper longings of the heart that maybe we're escaping from or we're numbing out because we're not experiencing that peace or that fulfillment that we're looking for. And so that's what we do. There's obviously a lot more to it, but we look at what's the underlying motive of the heart. Are there lacks? And we'll talk about the lack and scarcity mindset, but are there lacks in the heart where you don't feel connected to people? Is there even a misunderstanding of God's presence in your life where you call on him for help with those urges, but then you sense that he's not really answering you? And so you give in and think, well, I guess he's not really here. And so there's these lies and justifications and state posture of the heart that can be identified when we look at why somebody gives in to masturbate. Does that kind of answer your question? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think it, all of this ultimately points to that idea of like what's going on in the heart, right? But I think sometimes there's those guys that are saying, hey, this is not, it's not as if this is disconnected from a biological reality that I have been conditioning myself, my body, in a certain way. And it's like those brain signals go on and off and it's like, hey, it's 11 o'clock at night, time to masturbate. Yeah. Right. And so I guess a little bit of what I'm asking too is how do you bring these very true scriptural principles of the character of God, of the heart, of what are the underlying desires? What am I meant for in the overall like understanding of life and God and all of that into the space of even what has been physically conditioned that is away from those desires and those good things that God has created us for? Like, how do you kind of reconcile that spiritual with the physical that's been going on for so long?
Yeah. And that's true, right? Like I remember one guy, he said it's kind of like, well, what he said is like clipping my nails or picking my nose. It's just a natural thing with what I do in my body. Or another guy said, it's like brushing my teeth in the morning. I get up or brush my teeth, shower, masturbate and go to work. And a lot of guys, it's at night, like you're saying. So there is that neurological pattern in our brain. And, you know, there's a way to rewire the brain. And this is so cool that science has shown this because scripture talks about that we're transformed by doing this. Mm-hmm. It's fun when you look at what researchers say. And I know you know this, Jonathan, but like, okay, this is how you can change the makeup of your brain. You can live with thankfulness. You can live in gratitude. You can, secular people will say, meditate. You can pray, listening to worship, or singing worship. Like these things will literally physically change the makeup, the neurological makeup of your brain. And so in those moments where we're tempted and we're just wanting to give in, I always want to encourage our guys that I don't want you to simply just resist that, like resist the devil and he'll flee. Before that, it's submit to God. And so what does submission to God look like? And so what we teach, one of the just little tools that guys take is, okay, what am I desiring right now? And it might be peace, or it might be, I just wish I was respected, or I wish I had somebody that loved me, or whatever that might be. And then can you praise God for fulfilling that desire in your heart right then? Can you just turn to praise in that moment and say, God, thank you that you're with me and thank you that you love me so much and that I can find fulfillment in you. Even if you don't really believe it or sense it or see it, if you can turn to him and praise, him in that, he gives you this power to overcome. And I know this personally. I'll wake up in the morning after these urges and I'm like, man, I don't even remember fighting. God just won the battle for me. And so that's just a little snippet of the tool that we want to encourage guys with, is it's not just resist and think about this and like, oh, I just don't want to do it and I'm going to feel bad. No, submit to God and resist the devil is what it says. And so what does God want you to do in that response? Apart from that, I'll just say, because I think it's important, is like when we come out of that, our, like say the next day and our brain is more at a normal state, if you can take time and even journal, handwrite what your response was, what the lies were that you were believing, what the longings were that you were experiencing, and you can journal through that and then talk to God and pray about that, that will start to rewire your brain, activate your prefrontal cortex, even where the logical part of your brain is. And so you're doing that in the context of the temptation. And then next time you get tempted, you're more likely to respond well.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that actually some of what we've been talking about just even right now leads well into the next topic that we want to talk about. And that is just the idea of emotional health. First of all, how would you kind of define what emotional health is and why is that important to this journey? Because again, a lot of guys especially are like, listen, I'm looking at porn. I don't want to look at porn. Why would you even talk about emotional health? So help us understand what that is and why it's important to this overall conversation about sexual integrity.
Yeah, totally. Well, emotional health, I mean, some people talk about emotional quotient, the EQ, right? And a lot of us understand intelligence quotient or the intellectual quotient, the IQ, but the EQ is something different. And when people look at, when there's been studies on emotional health or the emotional quotient, the most successful people in various fields, the IQ doesn't really have a factor as much as the EQ does, the emotional quotient. And so I look at, okay, what do you know that you should do? And do you actually do that? And when you put those two things together, that can give you the emotional quotient that you have. So I know that I shouldn't look at porn, but I keep on doing that. And it could be 40, 50 years. And it's sad that when we see these guys, girls who have been engaging in sexual perversion for decades, their emotional capacity to handle stressors in life is very limited. It's very low and diminished. And so if we can start to look at how do you respond to stressors in life, or do you get offended easily in relationships, or do you self-sabotage relationships or opportunities in your life? Typically, there's an emotional response to stress or to hardship that where we just go into ourselves, or we feel more like a victim, or we feel like we have to escape and numb out rather than being able to get through these things in a healthy way. And so that's how I kind of define emotional health, is how do you respond to stressors, and do you know what to do and then actually do it? Or do you escape into sin, even though you know the right thing, but you don't always do that?
How important is it for, in terms of this overall understanding of emotional health, how important is it for guys to start getting better language around their feelings? And the reason I ask this is because in my own experience with working with guys for over 20 years is that, you know, if you start asking guys about their feelings, about their emotions, they usually only have three: happy, mad, sad.
That's
right. And they don't talk about sad. So they really only express two: happy and mad, right? So why is it important that even their ability to identify and articulate feelings gets more mature? Why is that important?
Well, we're emotional beings, right? Like as much as the most spiritual person wants to say I'm spirit-led, I think that obviously we can be spirit-led, but mostly we're led by our emotions. And I remember, like you, I remember one guy said, Matt, I have one anger or one emotion. It's anger. It's all he felt. And, you know, I would say he felt more than that, but that's all he could identify. And through the process of learning to identify what he was feeling, not feeling shame about his feelings, but just acknowledging that he is a human being with feelings, he was then able to say, hey, I actually do have more joy, or I don't get angry as often. Because he didn't identify simply with that one emotion. And so I think it's important for us to recognize what we're feeling, because it's our reality. if we don't live in reality, we're not aware of our response and we're not aware of the things that affect us. We're not even aware of the good things, right? Because we're numbed out to experiencing any joy or any connection with people when we simply feel that sadness or that anger. But here's the thing that I think is that when we are in denial about certain emotions that we feel or that we carry, we can put on this facade and we can try to live a happy life or an outwardly happy life, or we could try to do our best, but inwardly we're a mess. And it's only when we are willing to kind of be a mess and we're willing to expose our emotions and identify that then we can actually live that life of joy and connection. And so it's kind of a paradox in that. But I remember this one guy going through our coaching. We didn't instruct him to do this. He just came to group one day and he's like, I set a goal for myself that every hour I was going to identify my emotions. And so every hour he's like, yeah, I feel sad right now, or I feel triggered right now, or I feel really joyful right now. And he was like, man, I got a lot of emotions and they're kind of up and down throughout the day. And especially for guys, we like to say, oh, girls are more emotional, guys are more even keel. That's not really the case.
No.
And so when he was identifying that, that was a pivotal moment in his journey of now being, I think he's like 2.5 years free of all infidelity and porn, when he was able to recognize his emotions. So we're emotional beings and it's just coming to terms with who we are.
Yeah. And I encourage guys to go get an emotion wheel. Like if you Google the word emotion wheel or whatever, just getting these simple little tools that help you go from the really big, broad, you know, categories of like anger and fear, but then it spreads out in this wheel to like more nuanced and just, you know, you can go, you might think you're angry and then you realize I'm actually disappointed, you know, just that kind of a thing, because those are good tools to help. Along this idea of emotional health, you know, you mentioned even when we were talking about the issue of masturbation, that that's outside of God's design of us being relational beings, right? So coming into this conversation about emotional health, what kind of impact does that have on moving us toward more of God's design for us being relational? Because I see guys all the time in their sexual brokenness, they're getting more and more isolated. They're getting more and more disconnected. So how does this aspect of working on emotional health help us to move more towards our actual design by God to be relational?
That's a huge thing, hey? And it's so important. I know that in my own life. When I remember about 11 years ago sitting in my apartment and thinking, if I had to call someone in my life, like if I just wanted to call someone, who would I call? And I had nobody. Like that was my answer. I don't really have anybody. And it was that year where I saw this book on the emotional quotient. And I was like, oh, I've never heard this term before. And up until that point, I'm like, if people were to ask me, hey, describe three things about yourself, or you say three things about yourself, I'm like, easygoing was always one of them. He says, oh, I'm easygoing. And what I realized was that, no, I'm more sad than I realized, or I have more ability to have joy than I realized. And so once I was able to get out of pornography and then express my emotions, I mean, it was very quick where I started having friends and started being able to go deeper in conversation with people. And so with a lower emotional quotient or I would say emotional immaturity, when we have that, we're more likely to hold back from going deep in relationship because we don't feel safe with anybody. We are shaken by people's opinions. We're desperate for their compliments, or we're shaken by their criticism or rejection because our emotions can't handle anything. When you're more rooted and you're more established in emotional health, and I think it's very close to spiritual health, emotional and spiritual health, when you're more rooted in that, you're less shaken by people's emotions or by stressors or by, you know, losing a job or whatever the situation might be, because you're able to just sit back and go, you know what? I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. God's got me. I have relationships. I'm going to be okay. If we're not emotionally healthy, when something goes wrong, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm a mess. And it's because of this situation and that person. And we don't even take responsibility because we do like Adam and Eve did. And we blame the people or situations around us, when in reality, it's our own ability to be emotionally rooted and grounded that's really the problem.
That's good. Well, let's dive into this third topic of just kind of the idea of scarcity or living in lack versus actually experiencing the abundant life or living kind of as more than a conqueror. How would you describe this difference and how do you see this manifest, especially in guys that are dealing with unwanted sexual behaviors and just looking to engage recovery?
Yeah, I remember this one guy, he said, I feel alone, you know, like I feel alone. I'm disconnected from people. And so when I'm alone, he had a roommate at the time. He said, when my roommate's not there, it's like my first response is to go to porn. And so I said to him, hey, write a list of all of the people that if you were in a pinch and you needed help, you could call them and they would come. Like they would come to your aid. And he goes, man, that's a long list. So I said, so you're just talking about you're disconnected from people and you don't have anybody. Then you said that's a long list. So his view was totally in lack and scarcity, thinking, I don't have anybody. I'm alone right now. Nobody's with me. I need people. I need. That's a lack mentality. And so then that opened the door to sexual sin because he's living in this lack that we're not meant to live in. So I referred to Adam and Eve. I think Adam and Eve set the stage for this. Adam and Eve, well, you know, let's talk about when they're looking at the tree. God says, hey, you can eat from any tree in the garden. There's all these trees. And then the enemy has them look at this one tree that's not for them. If they were to just poke their head around that tree and look at all of the abundance in the garden, it would be silly to focus on this one. They had everything. They had so much. And so it's the same with us in our life. That's just how we are in our sin nature when we're not born again, we're not sanctified and growing in Christ. And so to understand this is to go, okay, is it a reality that I actually am feeling disconnected from people? The feeling is real, but what's the truth? And so this guy with this long list of people, I was able to just lead him into understanding like, hey, I remember I asked him, what would be the value of you being alone for say a couple hours one night? And he said, well, I guess I could then learn what it is to be at peace, being alone, and then grow in my private times with the Lord. And so the sad thing about lack is that we live in lack continually and we escape that uncomfortable feeling. If we're in abundance in our heart and in our thinking, then even when we experience a lack in life, even when we're alone, we're not escaping because we're more content in our heart. And so our human nature is to experience lack. Every single person with sexual sin, there's a reason we go to it, and it has to do with lack. It's thinking, my wife doesn't give it to me enough. I have a high libido and nobody else can match up to that. And so there's a lack in terms of people or experiences, sexual experiences that I'm having. God doesn't satisfy me in my physical body because he's not physical. There's a lack mentality there. And so if we can start to think abundance, like, no, God is sufficient. He is able to satisfy me. I do have relationships. Even if I'm not married, even though I have that desire, I'm still okay because God is with me and I can lay that desire down for a time. That's where God wants us to get to. And so I like to say it to guys like this, is that we're made incomplete, but we're made to be complete. We're made to be complete, but we're made incomplete. It's kind of like we're made as an incomplete puzzle, but God is that missing puzzle piece, or he has those missing puzzle pieces for us. And so even though we're made incomplete, we're not made to live incomplete. We're made to find that missing piece, and that's found in the Lord and in healthy relationships. And in so doing, we can then live in abundance, not in scarcity and thinking that we have to escape our current lack in life.
So let's talk about what first steps look like for somebody who's listening to this and going, you've just described me, Matt. You've just described, I'm a guy that can totally identify with that sense of lack. I'm always scared that I don't have enough. I've always feel less than or whatever. What are the first steps for getting to a place where you can turn the corner from living from that scarcity mindset to a mindset of the abundant life, the fullness that God intends for us?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the first thing with really anything that we're struggling with, the first thing is that God wants us to bring it to light. And I think it's really healing for us to bring things to light just in a relationship with people around us, in prayer with the Lord. It's not just our sin that we need to bring to the light. It's like, hey, I have a scarcity mentality. I don't think that I'm ever going to be okay. I don't think that my relationships are ever going to be enough. I don't think that I'm ever going to get enough sex. I don't think that, you know, whatever the case is, if you can bring that belief to light in relationship, you're going to find some healing just in doing that. And people are going to understand you. And even to the point where I always say vulnerability is leadership, because when you're vulnerable, they're also going to say, oh, I can relate to that. And so you're not going to feel like a crazy person. It's just, okay, this is something that's normal in our human condition. But moving forward from bringing it to the light is one of the key things that I think is this idea of thankfulness and gratitude. Because I said to our guys in our group coaching last week, people who are rooted in their identity of sons are thankful as a son of God. People who think that they're a beggar and they're not certain of their relationship with God, then all they do is they beg. Please, God, forgive me. Please forgive me. Rather than thanking God that he has forgiven you and receiving that. Mm-hmm. Jesus, with the feeding of the 5,000, he thanked God before the food even multiplied. He thanked the Father for what he was going to do. In Colossians 2, it says that those who are rooted and established in the Lord are overflowing with gratitude. And so I think that choosing to be thankful, even in really hard situations, opens the door to experiencing abundance and to changing our mind and seeing things differently. And so a great time to practice would be when you're tempted to give in to the Lord, when you're tempted to masturbate. What in that situation could you give thanks for? I mean, I'll give a few examples for me. I'm so thankful that God is closer than a brother. I'm so thankful that he has given me a body with desires, but he's also given me the ability with the Holy Spirit to control my body and to honor him with it. I'm so thankful for the ability to think in those moments and to praise him in those moments, and that he wants to help me get through these urges. There's a lot that we can be thankful for in those moments of temptation. And man, when you get good at that, when that's your more of your default response, temptation, the hold that it has on you is maybe it'll completely go away, but it will for sure start to decrease. So giving gratitude, or having gratitude and bringing it to light, is a great way to start in abundance.
Yeah, I love that. We talk all the time in our ministry to men about how, you know, everything about your addiction, everything about, we talked earlier about masturbation, solo sex, the, you know, pornography, all that. It is a constant focus inward on self. Yeah. And what does gratitude do? You have to get outside of yourself to be grateful, because you have to say thank you, right? So there's a sense in which that gratitude to God, that praise to God, is a practice in getting us outside of ourselves.
I love it.
Matt, this has been a great conversation. So I think we have stirred the pot enough for one podcast, but we'd love to be able to send people your way for the resources that you guys provide. So where can people go to learn more about you and what you all do in your ministry?
Well, thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, you can go to restoredministries.ca is our website. There's an online community there. It's called Pure Freedom Community. And so actually John Ford is in there, so he's hanging out with us, but that's free to join for guys over 18, and guys connect there, and we do different teachings and different things, Bible studies. And so Pure Freedom Community is an option. You can find that at the website. And then we're also Pure Victory Podcast is our podcast. There's episodes every week, and on Instagram it's Restored Sexuality.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thanks again for just being here and just for doing what you're doing and remaining in this space. We pray that you continue to be faithful in what you've been called to do. And so thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, listeners, we are going to put a lot of stuff in the show notes this podcast, because we've covered a lot of territory. But we hope that you'll look at those things. We're going to try to link you to some really good resources. Our hope and our goal is to help you take your next best step in wholeness in Christ. And so we're here to help you do that. Please reach out to us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.